Father, we ask that you lead us today and open the hearts of all those that are listening this afternoon. We do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you again as we're studying the book of Titus. We're looking at the introduction of Titus today. Titus chapter 1, as we have been in the first couple of verses this week, we pick up at verse 3. But, we break in the middle of a verse, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Here it is Paul speaking of how God in due times has manifested his word. And Paul was the one, he was speaking of himself, that it was committed unto him by the commandment of God our Savior. So we see here, verse 3, it speaks of due times, in the appropriate time. You see, Paul spoke of himself as being one born out of due time. He was an apostle. He was an apostle later on, you might say, than the other ones. And he spoke of that in 1 Corinthians to a great extent. But we see here that in due times, that God manifested his word through preaching. If we were to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Lord speaks through Paul again to the believers at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:18. He speaks about preaching. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we see the Lord has used preaching. He's used it in many ways. You look back in the Old Testament, you think of how the Lord sent Jonah. Jonah did not want to go. He wasn't willing to start with. Yet then he went and preached to those in Nineveh. We see throughout the Old Testament, we see the prophets and how they warned of judgment. We see again how Noah, back in Genesis, how he was a preacher of righteousness. And for those 120 years, he warned the people. We see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in the great transition time from Judaism unto the church age, there in the early church, as ones had all the, you might say, traditions of Judaism, and they were trying to preach to them the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. And they preached to them, the apostles did, and different ones traveled about. We see how Philip, one of the first deacons, if you will, from Acts 6, went around different places called Philip the Evangelist. And we see how there was Stephen, one of those also in Acts 6, how he went and preached to those ones, expounding the Old Testament. And then they would not listen and stoned Stephen. But as we go on through the epistles, we see time and time again how Paul would write letters, how he would visit, as in his missionary journeys, along with Barnabas and others, and they would preach the word. They would teach the word. They would go out into the people of the different cities and preach the gospel. And when they were saved, the people would come into the local assembly to fellowship with the saints. So we see that he has committed the word through preaching. We see how that even today, this is one of the primary ways that the Word of God is given forth. We see how there are millions and millions of Bibles throughout the world. We see how there's much literature written. We see how there's calendar verses. There are devotional books. There's many things brought forth in written capacity. But the preaching of the Word, we see how the Lord has used it in a special way. How ones have gone out into areas and preached the gospel, and have gone out into areas and preached and taught the word of God. And we see here how Paul spoke of how that the word was made manifest through preaching. Paul speaks of how it was committed unto him. We see Paul was a brother that was used in a special way, an apostle. And we see that Timothy and Titus and ones were an extension of Paul, his ministry, you might say, that Paul and his apostolic authority sent these different ones around to work in the early church, to establish the early church, to teach and to bring forth the word of God. And we see in the establishing of these early churches that the preaching of the word was a grounding for the early saints. We see how it was committed unto Paul as well, the dispensation of the grace of God. So we see that the Apostle Paul was one given, committed unto him, a great responsibility. Well, as we move on through, again, he says to Titus in verse 4, "Mine own son, or my genuine son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." So we see here in a tremendous way the introduction of the book of Titus that we spent much time on this week. This brings us now to verse 5, as we'd like to get into a little bit of the main portion of chapter 1, where it's speaking of behavior of those in leadership. Chapter 2 is behavior of individuals. Chapter 3 is behavior of all things. But here, let's note in verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city that I have appointed thee." Now, if you remember, Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 1 there that there were divisions among them, that there was party spirits dividing up. You'll notice today that this is a standard position in the church today. Denominationalism was rebuked in 1 Corinthians 1, the dividing up of the body of Christ. But yet, in the early church, that wasn't the intention. So when we see that Paul would send one such as Titus into these different cities, we see how he said to establish and set in order the things that are wanting in every city. He didn't say, go visit this denomination, then go over to this denomination. That's not the intention that God had for the body of Christ. There is one body. Christ is the head of the church, and there's one body. There's the universal church, and yet then there are the local gatherings of the saints, the local church. So we see here in connection with the local church, he said that he should go, this one Titus, into Crete and set in order, or it's also rendered to further set in order the things that are wanting. So we see how in Acts, where Paul would go back around on more than one missionary journey, and he would go back around and see how the saints in different towns were coming along. And as ones would mature, they could see a further setting up of the order of the local assembly. To go around to begin with and preach the gospel and see one saved, and then come back around and see which ones were taking spiritual leadership. And as an apostle, he pointed out that there needed to be the setting up of the elders there, that is the bishops as well, as mentioned in verse 7, those that would be the spiritual leaders. So he said, set in order the things that are wanting, that is, things that have lack. That's what the word means, is lack. It's mentioned in the book of James. It's also mentioned in Titus again in chapter 3 and over in verse 13. Speaking of, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting or lack unto them. So this one Titus was being encouraged, told by Paul, to set in order things that are lacking, things that are wanting. So we have here the continual establishing and grounding of the early church. And what is the first thing he says to do? To ordain, or that is appoint, elders in every church. So we see, or in every city it says here. This is a study in itself we'd like to look at. Let's look at a few passages and then we'll go on and continue on tomorrow, Lord willing, with some of the other thoughts on the behavior of the elders, the bishops. But let's look over in some passages such as Acts 13. We want to look at just what does it mean to appoint elders, to have shepherds in a local assembly, Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Notice here, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian that had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So we see here that there was some five spiritual leaders called teachers here at Antioch. In the church at Antioch, we see there in that local assembly, there was five teachers. Then we go on, chapter 14, 23, and they had ordained them elders in every church. Notice, it was more than one. They had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And we go on. There's a matter to be considered in chapter 15, verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter that was in Jerusalem. And we continue on. Pick up in chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, this is Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And there he spoke unto them, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed, that is to pasture the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Again, there was a group of men leading that assembly. We could go on and on with this subject, but tomorrow we'll pick up in Titus chapter 1. Thank you for joining us today. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. The Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Phone number this week is 824-5525. Thank you.